Hi, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Biting Into Healthcare with me, Dr. Miguel Stanley. It's been a while since I uploaded one of these podcasts, and I want to thank everybody for downloading all of the other episodes. As always, these are non-sponsored content, so this is just me sharing some ideas with you. And for those of you that have some curiosity on the topic of healthcare and as you all know, being a dentist and a dental surgeon for over 25 years, I've always had a passion for trying to learn more and how I can help my patients get more answers about their healthcare. And in the past year, I've spent a lot of time learning, studying, and following a lot of other dentists and thinking outside the box. So today I want to talk a little bit about root canal. And it's a trending topic, and I don't have a script here, so I'm just sharing some ideas. I don't have all the answers. I think that we need to be very wary of any medical profession that says they have absolute answers, because I think in science and research and medicine, we're continuously learning and evolving, and doctors have to continuously be students and upgrade their knowledge and be humble enough to adapt and to learn and to implement. And nowadays, it's not just about having the right knowledge, but it's also about having the right technology and training, and also having patients that allow you to do the right things and to have the right, I guess, moral compass when it comes down to practicing anything in healthcare, which is do no harm. And there's so many providers out there that are stuck in what they learned or trained with 20 years ago. And since that works for them, they believe that this is still good and haven't really upgraded or updated their knowledge in quite some time. And that's why continuous education is very, very important. In many countries around the world, doctors are obliged to update continuously their education. I am part of the General Dental Council in the UK. So I'm also a registered British dentist, despite practicing exclusively in Portugal here at the White Clinic for 25 years now. I do hold a license to practice in the UK, and every year we are obliged to continuously update a minimum amount of hours of ongoing education. And thankfully, over the past 20 years, I've been invited to lecture around the world. And so I get to be on stage and share my ideas and my thoughts, but also I then have to sit in the front row, or I get to have the honor of sitting in the front row and learning from colleagues, and also getting my CE credits and my hours of ongoing education. And so I'm very blessed to be able to continuously be updating my knowledge over the years. And I'm at a point in my career now where, you know, I'm pretty much friends with all of the industry leaders, many of the top doctors around the world, and I'm always curious. So sometimes I just pick up the phone and have conversations with doctors from all over the world, from all walks of life, and we share some ideas and some thoughts. And sometimes I agree, and sometimes I disagree. But the truth of the matter is, and I think it's important for the context here, is I'm not affiliated. I have no shares in any company. I don't sell any technology. I don't promote any, you know, book or product, or, you know, I'm not trying to sell anything. You know, I do have the Slow Dentistry. I'm co-founder of the Slow Dentistry Global Network. But that's a nonprofit foundation based in Switzerland. So, I mean, that's a completely nonprofit focused organization. So, and I only have one clinic. I don't work with insurance companies. I don't have any fiduciary responsibilities to third parties. I'm a real doctor. I really, my focus is healing patients one by one that come to the White Clinic with my team, my longtime team here at the White Clinic. So, you know, we truly are focused on just improving the way that we get to treat our patients. So, bringing this back on point to the topic of root canal. And depending on where you are in the world, if you're a patient, if you're a dentist, So I'm sure there's a lot of dentists listening to this. I'm sure there's a lot of patients listening to this. And, you know, I'm just sharing my opinion. And this opinion has changed over the years. And perhaps in a year's time, it will be different. So thankfully, there's a timestamp on this this podcast. And, you know, maybe I'll update it if I get some new knowledge moving forward. So let's talk about root canals. What is a root canal? A root canal is a treatment that is basically the removal of the dental pulp, which is contained within each tooth. Now, inside the dental chamber, and depending on what tooth you're talking about, if it's a tooth with one root, like your central incisor or a canine, they can sometimes have two. But it's quite rare. Then you've got premolars, you've got molars, and some teeth can even have up to six or sometimes very rarely even seven roots. I mean, it's very, very rare. But, you know, on average, a molar will have three roots. And that means, you know, three canals on average. A premolar will have on average two, and a canine and a central or a lateral will have one. And these teeth are encompassed in dentine. And the coronal part is encompassed with enamel, which is actually the hardest structure of the human body. So in all effect, a root canal should never be necessary, never, ever be necessary. Why do we need them? Well, multitude of reasons. Our diet has changed over the last, you know, 2,000 years, 3,000 years. We started having softer diets. We started eating processed foods. We started having more carbohydrates in our diet, a lot of processed sugar. I mean, all we have to do is go to a modern supermarket and just, or a gas station, and just figure out that, you know, we're being pumped with sugar everywhere. There's sugar in everything, which is a massive healthcare issue. And, you know, I'm an advocate, and I've said this many times on my social media, that, you know, anything that contains sugar should come with a warning label. This product can, you know, destroy your teeth. Much like you'll find on a cigarette package or alcohol. I think sugar is just as evil, just as bad for your health. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love a tub of chocolate ice cream. Who doesn't you know, partake in a nice dessert? And I mean, we all love sugar. It's part of our culture, part of our society. But, you know, you have at least have to know the negative consequences of this, not just for you know, for obesity or your cardiovascular system, and the causes of systemic inflammation, the effects on the gut, but primarily on your teeth. I mean, sugar activates some of the bad bacteria we have in our mouth that will produce lactic acid, that then produce corrosion on our enamel. And if we don't brush or have a proper oral hygiene, if we are deficient in vitamin D3 and K2, mostly K2, then our teeth become weakened. If we're low on calcium, if we have a bad dental formation, if we are mouth breathers, there's a multitude of reasons that can lead to people having an excessive predisposition to tooth decay. But if that cavity goes into the dentine. So usually it's quite small on the enamel because enamel is very hard. So the drilling, quote, between quotes, you know, the drilling of the bacteria through the enamel is usually quite focused. But once it hits the dentine, which is a lot more organic, which is about, you know, 70% organic material, whereas dentine is 97% minerals, very, very strong stuff. Usually that's when it expands within the tooth. And that's why regular dental checkups are very, very important. But once that's come close to the nerve, then the nerve is just going to start getting inflamed. And because it's contained in a non-expansive casing, which is the tooth itself, this can cause a lot of pain. And that is when you have to have a root canal. This treatment's been around for a very, very long time. And basically, it involves opening the access to the canal of the tooth or the several canals of the teeth, and then using files to extract the nerve. It's not just the nerve. There's also blood vessels and lymphatic system, part of the lymphatic system. I don't know if many people know this, but teeth are some of the only repositories of stem cells in our body as well. So it's a really, really hyper-protected casing. I mean, technically, it's really bad if you need a root canal. You know, it should be up there with having eye surgery. You know, it's our teeth are super, super important for our systemic health, for our mental health, for our chewing. I mean, I think that it's most dentists seem to have amnesia when it comes to how important our teeth are. We've become so hyper specialized in the way that we look at it that we, you know, we look at teeth and we forget how important they are as a whole in our well being. And also, you know, dentists don't speak to doctors and doctors don't speak to dentists. And, you know, you're not a doctor, you're just a dentist. So we stayed in our lane and kind of forgot how connected our teeth are to our immune system, to our breathing apparatus, to our brain function. I mean, there's so much innovation between our teeth and our brain that is incredibly overlooked. And, you know, why are there so many stem cells in our teeth? Why are our teeth have so much innovation? Maybe we're missing something here and we need to look more into how important our teeth are in our overall well-being. But I digress and I want to get back onto root canals. So this treatment has been around for, you know, over 100 years, and it's a great way to save the tooth structure. Don't get me wrong, it's an amazing way to save a tooth structure. So, and just I'm going to get it over with. I am not anti-root canal. I work with a phenomenal endodontist, endodontics, that comes from the, I believe, Greek, but it's inside the tooth, endodontic or endodont, which means inside the tooth. So endodontists are the specialists that do root canal treatment. And a proper endodontist is a really, really super doctor that manages to perform, you know, neurosurgery on the tooth. And let's call it what it is. That actually is what it is. It's taking out part of your nervous system. And when they do this properly, the top guys, they will isolate the tooth with something called a dental dam or a rubber dam so that the saliva doesn't touch the tooth. Very, very important. I mean, if you have a root canal without a rubber dam, then, I mean, game over. It's like having heart surgery with non-sterilized gloves. You just wouldn't even consider doing that. So just for argument's sake, if you've had a root canal done without a rubber dam, the likelihood that that root canal is a good one is almost zero. So that's that. And unfortunately, the use of root canal of rubber dam is not that widespread because it takes about 10 minutes to set up in the hands of an experienced professional to totally isolate the tooth and do it properly. Maybe, you know, anywhere between 7 to 8, 10 minutes, but let's say on average about 10 minutes. And if a dentist is in a rush to get it done, then, you know, maybe that time will be cut. And that's one of the foundations of the Slow Dentistry Global Network. So you can just check that out on slowdentistry.com if you want to find out more about what a rubber dam is. There's some cool videos on there. And now we have ChatGPT. So you can just ChatGPT dental dam. It was invented in the 1800s by a guy called Sanford Barnum, which is pretty cool. So it's been around for a long time. Very overlooked in dentistry as a whole. And so what an endodontist does is this, a good endodontist, they will set up a rubber dam, they will use sterilized drills, they will use sterilized files, they'll modern ones will use mechanical files, so they'll have technologies that are incredibly advanced. Some will use lasers, some will use ozone, some will use bioceramics, most of them will use a microscope and have digital x-rays to make sure that they are well within the confines of the tooth. They'll use digital technologies such as apical locators. They will disinfect everything and sterilize everything as much as possible, and they'll get that root canal done in one session. So they'll open and shut the tooth in one session, protecting the tooth immediately, sealing everything off. And when this is done properly, but like really, really properly, it's a great technique in a modern dentist's armamentarium. And, you know, the only other alternative would be tooth extraction. And again, I don't think that that is a fair option in modern dentistry, in modern healthcare. So, I mean, if you have a very good specialist that knows what they're doing and they're doing things properly, and your tooth is inflamed and it's causing you pain, and extraction is not an immediate option, you do not have an alternative. And I want to get into that later, and I want to talk about that later, because you've got a rising trend of biological, holistic, integrative dentists out there, which I'm a big fan of. I would consider the White Clinic to be a center of integrative dentistry. And, you know, I'm quite wary of branding things. I think dentistry is evolving into what people will call holistic or biological dentistry. It's a natural evolution of the profession that is continuously upgrading. And there's a bunch of good doctors out there that are continuously looking for new and improved methods to heal their patients. So I don't think it's a trend. I think it's just a natural evolution into a more immune-focused, neurological-focused, mechanical-focused practice. And, you know, technologies are getting better, practices are getting smarter, but usually it's a small proportion. It's a small portion of dentists in any community, and usually wealthy communities. So, you know, we have to think globally here, in wealthy communities that are actually doing a better job of this, you know. So, of course, any endodontist listening to this will, you know, feel threatened if anybody says root canals are bad, because naturally they're not. A good root canal, when well done, like I just described, where rubber dam is placed, the microscope is used, sterilized files are used, the tooth is suffering from inflammation, and this is done in one session with good materials, well done, in a procedure where no one's looking at the clock, and it takes the time that it takes, and it's open and closed in one session, and then the tooth is protected with a new filling or a crown, ideally a crown. A lot of the literature will support that, regardless of the cost of this procedure. That is a good procedure. And then that tooth will need permanent monitoring with CBCT, not two-dimensional film x-ray, over time to monitor for any inflammation at the base of that tooth. So that is an amazing technique when well performed under strict guidelines. If it is not done under strict guidelines, if it's done like in many clinics, unfortunately, without a rubber dam, many of the files sometimes are, the dentists have these big boxes and the files are not sterilized. They're just, you know, they're sterilized once a week, and then there's this box that's open, and the dentist then chooses the file that's convenient to him. But sometimes, you know, they're not individually sterilized, depending on where you are in the world or what kind of a practice you're in. And no one likes to admit to this, but that's just it. And if saliva's gone inside the tooth, it's contaminated because saliva has pathogens in it. So we need to just really have this conversation about the difference between a good root canal and a bad root canal. And I'm not even engaging with, you know, if the doctor tried his best and is, you know, oh, I'm not given the right tools and my boss doesn't allow me to. And doctors, at the end of the day, every single dentist is sovereign. And if you're not given the right amount of time or the right tools to do a proper root canal, well, then just don't do it. Refer the patient somewhere else. Nobody puts a gun to your head to say, you know, you have to do this poorly. And everybody's trained to do it properly. Everybody, every single dental school on earth will train a dentist to do it properly. Not doing properly, well, that's another debate to, you know, why people do whatever they do. You know, it's a decision of personal congruence. You know, I personally believe that if you're going to do something, you have to do it according to the latest science and evidence. But I want to stay on point here. So again, not all root canals are bad, but we have to start looking at when was the root canal done. So if you've got a patient that is super healthy, no health issues, no skin issues, no mental issues, everything's going great, and they have a bunch of root canals in their mouth, all right, not a problem, you know. But if you start developing some systemic disease, an autoimmune disease, an inflammatory disease, or if you have, you know, cancer, or you have, you know, something that your doctors are having a hard time figuring out how to get your symptoms resolved, and you have a bunch of root canals in your mouth that were done 20 years ago, 30 years ago, well, then, you know, the likelihood that they were done with everything, like I just described, everything sterilized, because 30 years ago, the techniques were different. The materials were different. We didn't know back then how to, you know, the importance of these things. There was this Cartesian divide between inside the tooth and the bone marrow. It's almost as if magically there wasn't a barrier. There was a barrier there. But we know now, if you can put a tooth under scanning microscope, it's quite porous. And, if that tooth was contaminated with saliva, if the gutta percha, which is this thermoplastic materials, like these little cones, thermoplastic cones, if they were not properly disinfected as part of the standard protocol, because the dentist, you know, cut a few corners, again, it's maybe everybody did everything right. I don't know, but I have seen, and I do know of dentists that sometimes, in order to save some time, they skip a few steps. Maybe 30 years ago, they just didn't know. The science wasn't evident. So if it was even 20 years ago, even 15 years ago, or even in a, you know, and you went to a GP who did an emergency treatment to try and help you, and things weren't done according to gold standard, or you went to a cheaper practice because, you know, you couldn't afford the gold standard procedure, and you had a GP that just didn't have the right training. And unfortunately, or fortunately, I don't know, I'm not going to debate on that, but GPs are allowed to do root canals. GPs, I'm a GP. I'm a general practitioner. I can do a root canal. I've done many, but I stopped doing them about 17 years ago, and that's why I've been working with specialists ever since, because it's not my area of expertise. But I'm legally allowed to do them. And at least I have the training, because I've learned, I've studied, we have the technology. So I know that a rubber dam, sterilized instruments, I know the protocol. Anyway, but if you do have then some kind of a sickness that doctors are scratching their heads around, then you might want to look into your dental history and perhaps look into those root canals and take a CT scan and see if there's any inflammation around them. And that, I believe, is what the holistic and the integrative dentists and biological dentists are talking about when they say all root canals are bad. So I'm in the middle on that one. And I don't think all root canals are bad. I think if a modern root canal done by a specialist is a really good procedure to save the tooth, I'm not saying that it has a lifelong span. I'm quite well known for saying that, you know, all dentistry is fallible, and the best dentistry is the one that you never need. So prevention is key. That's why, you know, low sugar diet, brushing your teeth, visiting your dentist regularly, and regularly doing cleanings and all of that is very, very, very important, because at the end of the day, the dentists are not responsible for your tooth decay. You're responsible for your tooth decay. However, dentists are responsible for the therapies. And again, if you've had treatments that have been done 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 15 years ago, probably in the last 15 years, you've changed your car at least once, probably changed your pillows, your bedroom at least once, your refrigerator maybe once, TVs, what, twice, your cell phone probably about 10 times, but you haven't upgraded your dentistry. So I think that might need some looking into. And each case is singular, each case is unique. And I think the only way that we can properly diagnose the success of a root canal is with CT scan, CBCT, three-dimensional cone beam, computerized tomography. And most of the evidence showing that root canals are successful in the history of dentistry come from a two-dimensional film X-ray, which is the most ubiquitous way of measuring success. And I don't think that that is the best way to analyze it. And even dentists wouldn't agree to that. So if you do have any doubts about your root canals, first of all, find out exactly how they were done. Try and remember if a rubber dam was used or if it wasn't used, if it was done by a specialist or not. And again, if you don't have any illness, then fine. You know, if you're happy to keep your teeth, fine. I don't think we need to be extremist in anything in healthcare. And again, they're your teeth, you decide, you are sovereign. But if you do have some health issues that are unexplained and you can't seem to be getting answers, and you're doubting, you know, who do I believe? Do I believe a conventional general, you know, or specialist, or do I believe these biological dentists that are all saying root canals are all bad? Well, I just wanted to put a little bit of balance in there. And again, you know, siding with the science, and the science is robust on that one. And if a dentist does a root canal with the strictest guidelines and tries to get that done in one session. I mean, sometimes two is also acceptable, but everything always has to be done with a rubber dam, proper sealing. I mean, these things can take up to 2-3 hours sometimes. So if it's, you know, if you're doing a molar in 30 minutes, I mean, gosh, I've seen my guy's really good, Dr. Carlos, and I don't think he could do a complex molar in 30 minutes. So time is a very valuable asset in doing things properly, having the right armamentarium, the right technology, the right technique, the right materials, the right training. And yes, of course, it can be a great treatment. I mean, what's the alternative? Extraction? Well, maybe that's not the right thing for the patient. So I think a certain degree of balance, a certain measure of balance is very, very important. And if it's done by a proper expert, then fine. Now, that is first time round root canal. So somebody who's has a natural tooth that was alive and is starting to give some pain, that's when you should look for a proper expert that does everything gold standard. But what about if you have an old root canal and there's a little lesion or a little bit of inflammation at the base of that root canal? What to do? And you're like, well, your dentist says, look, this root canal is not 100%. And this, most times this will cause no pain whatsoever. It's just a small little image in the x-ray or ideally a CBCT. I'm a big proponent of low dose, low radiation, high quality CBCT as a diagnostic tool for these things. And if there's a little lesion at the base of this root canal, then your dentist might say, look, we need to redo this root canal in order to save the tooth. And who doesn't want to save a tooth? I mean, what's the alternative? Extraction, horrible tooth extraction, surgery, implants, super expensive, really complicated. It's really tough to navigate those huge decisions, and saving a tooth, much better option. Why not? You know, I've recommended that treatment for decades, you know, 2 decades. I've been 25 years a dentist. And of course, it's the best solution. It's the less traumatic. It's the best. It doesn't require surgery. But again, if you are a healthy patient with no immune issues, no autoimmune, everything's good, your health is solid, then fine. Get that retreatment done and with a specialist under the conditions I said. And usually they'll use some special materials to disinfect inside the canal. They'll probably use a laser or not, but they'll use, you know, some it's called Dakin solution, which is like a bleach that kills a lot of the fungus and bacteria and will reduce the pathogenic load inside quite incredibly. And it'll be a lot better than what you have, but will it remove all the pathogen? Well, there's an argument there. And there, I think, maybe the only true way to diagnose that would be under a biopsy or under a petri dish but that would mean you'd have to have the tooth extracted. So there's a conundrum. You know, you can't really guarantee, you can improve it exponentially, but you can never guarantee that the pathogens are completely removed. And moreover, there's also a surgery called an apical surgery. It's been around for many, many decades. And that will involve then redoing the root canal under the strictest guidelines as discussed previously. And then having a surgery performed where there's a little window opened at the base of the tooth. The doctor drill, you know, opens the gum and the local anesthetic and drills out the infection, cuts the tip of the tooth off, the apex of the tooth, and we'll do something called a retro obturation, and a good endodontist will work in combination in tandem with an oral surgeon. We did that surgery for about 20 years now, and we'll use something called MTA, which is a special varnish that sets in the presence of blood, and will completely cap the tip of the tooth so that no more bacteria can seep out into the bone. And then the bone socket will be cleaned, lasered. Many times, ideally, a bone graft will be placed, and PRF or a collagen membrane will be placed over the defect, and everything will be sutured in place. And that would be gold standard. Many dentists sometimes don't fill the socket. Some in the past would actually use a mercury amalgam to do the retro obturation. Some will not use the MTA because it's incredibly expensive. Some will not cut off the tip of the tooth. Some will leave the empty cavity just to be filled with blood. And everybody will say that their technique is the best, or there's science that will back up all different methods. But here, my new training, my updated knowledge would probably suggest that if you are, again, very healthy and everything's fine, that's a, you know, get a good team to do that, fine. It's a valid, well-substantiated therapy. And again, a personal decision. But if you do have some form of autoimmune, if you have cancer, if you have something where your immune system is trying to fight off permanent inflammation and infection, well, there's no other way that you can guarantee that there's no inflammation there other than extraction of that tooth. And remember, you'd already had a root canal done and it wasn't working. So usually this happens in root canals that have been there for many, many years. And, you know, we see this, that even modern implant dentists have been placing implants for 20 years are suggesting now that the lifespan of a modern implant is 15 years, 20 years, that after that time, you might have to reconsider taking it out and having it redone. This is a new discussion that's going, you know, that's trending amongst the leading experts that have enough cases to start seeing that, you know, we're not saying that any dental treatment lasts a lifetime. So perhaps a root canal has a finite time span. And yes, you can redo it, like I just said, but at that point where you need to have a root canal redone, and if you do have an autoimmune disease or skin issues or health issues, and you're suffering from some form of inflammation in your body and your doctors are trying to figure out, well, then maybe that's where you have to then think, is the retreatment the best option for me? And all I'm saying is you need to go and get some information from both sides, from a biological dentist and then from your dentist, and get a third opinion and a fourth opinion, and you know, get some informed consent there, and get some information and make the right decision for yourself. I'm not saying that you should listen to anybody. You should listen to your own personal decisions, your own personal opinion, but you've got to get the facts. So remember, if the root canal was done the first time around without a rubber dam, without sterilized instruments, the likelihood that there's some silent pathogens that are in there, even as locally contained, is very, very high. And it's going to be very, very difficult to get it completely out. And that's what the discussion of the biological dentists. So they're not, you know, most biological dentists are very focused on the immune system and on systemic health, not just on saving the tooth. And that's the discussion. So I'm trying to be I'm trying to have a broader discussion here. And I don't think that saying all root canals are bad is going to help anybody, because they're not. Again, if it's done the first time around with a tooth with inflammation, gold standard, fine. It's a great way to save the tooth. But it also depends on the patient's systemic health. You know, if you're about to have a heart transplant or a kidney transplant or a liver transplant or immunotherapies or, you know, chemotherapy, and you've got a cyst around a tooth, maybe having a retreatment is not the best option. You know, you've got to think about your systemic health. So each case needs to be analyzed in depth. There's many, many factors that go into place here. Personally, I've stopped doing retreatment of root canals that have any image around the tooth. That's why we have dental implants. That's why we have developed the entire universe of dental implants over the last 60 years, is exactly for failed dentition. I will do everything to protect a healthy tooth, and I will offer all of my patients a, you know, gold standard root canal. If there's inflammation and that tooth is, we've tried everything to save it, but there's no infection in the tooth and it's done like brain surgery, then I think it's a great solution. And if my patient says, you know, no, I don't want to have that done, well, then we can have a discussion and we can talk about it. But I don't think that, you know, if you've got an inflamed tooth and a toothache, that you should go straight to extraction. unless, you know, there's very, very serious reasons for that. And again, it's a really difficult topic because we have this responsibility to save our patients' teeth. But I think we need to broaden the mindset of the dental community at large and think we also have a responsibility to think about systemic health. And at the end of the day, there's no ideal solution other than, you know, stop feeding everyone sugar, making sure everybody brushes their teeth. And we need to look into our dental history and into the past and understand that, you know, maybe things that were done 10, 15 years ago need to be upgraded. And just do your research, guys, and find out what's best for yourself. And I want to give a big shout out to all the great endodontists in the world. I support you guys. Keep on doing it. Don't get too angry if people are saying root canals are bad, because they're not. Only the bad root canals are bad. And there's good and bad everywhere. And our jobs, if we're on the good side, is to just to teach and to inspire and to promote healthy debate, healthy conversations. And I don't think there's a doctor on the planet that would argue that having proper sterilization for any procedure is paramount. And many times that is overlooked in clinics that are doing fast dentistry. You know, we have to put a spotlight onto that. And that's why the Slow Dentistry Global Network, and you can listen to my podcast on slow dentistry, you know, what it's all about. It's about, you know, really taking time to do the proper things, even if you're not rewarded. And unfortunately, in a world that is very profit-driven, healthcare sector is very profit-driven. Not always, you know, but many parts of the world it is. And time becomes a huge asset. And sometimes getting everything perfect just takes too much time and is not allowed or afforded to many practitioners. And that's why there's also a lot of stress, a lot of anxiety, a lot of mental health issues in dentistry, because many good people don't get the possibility to do gold standard dentistry, and they're heartbroken by this. And, oh, well, everybody else is doing it, so I might as well do it myself. Well, you know, we've got to change somewhere. That's why I do these podcasts, is just to inspire people. And if I can just change one person's mind, that's good. So thanks for listening, and do your research, do your homework. And there's no absolute certainties in dentistry or in healthcare. And you got to find out what's good for yourself. And if you are struggling with making a decision, get a second opinion, a third opinion, and make sure if you are going to have a root canal that it's done with a rubber dam always, and sterilized instruments always, and your dentist strives to do it in one session. And if he has to do it in two, there's a valid explanation for that, and that there's a final x-ray and always a CBCT follow-up, at least, you know, 1 year afterwards, to make sure there's no inflammation around that tooth. And like everything, any good surgery has a finite, you know, treatment has a sell by date, you know. And the literature would say these things last 15 years, you know. So if a dentist does a good job and the tooth lasts 15 years, fine. If it starts giving some trouble, then maybe you need to upgrade the treatment. And that's why we have implants, and that's why we have other procedures. All right. So most dentists really want the best for you, and they study hard and they work hard and they're doing their best. And I think the real culprits here are all of the companies that we've grown to love, that produce all of the lovely drinks and sodas and ice creams and candies that we love, that have been ruining our teeth for the last 100 years. So perhaps one day we'll all stop brushing our teeth collectively a little bit more, our children's teeth a little bit more. And all dentists will be using rubber dam ubiquitously, and we can move into a future where rapid dentistry is a thing of the past, and things are all done properly. And that's why I think artificial intelligence will also play a huge role in diagnostics. And I think it's going to be an amazing and exciting, brave world that we move into the future. So I'm also full of questions. I don't have all the answers, but I do think that it's time just to explain that, you know, not all root canals are bad, and it's a great weapon when well done. All right. So thank you for listening. And I hope that there's not a long interval between my next post, but I've been so busy with work here at the clinic. And I know that consistency on podcast is important, but I don't always get time. Today is actually a public holiday here in Portugal, so I had a little bit of time to record this, and thank you for listening. Bye.